In this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
She's twirling fire knives, and I remember just being like, you know, looking at my friend saying like, you know, this girl, like, this is it.
Tanner Phillips falls in love with the girl twirling fire knives at a 4th of July festival. Zach Bigelow's friend steals a massive mortar from a 4th of July fireworks display.
He hopped the fence and stole one of the big mortars.
Oh my goodness.
And it's... He's just carrying this thing around all day long. Look what I've got. It's this precious, you know. Just we're trying to figure out how we're going to launch this thing off after everybody else is gone.
And Jeremiah Liggett's life has changed forever when he sees Lake Michigan for the first time.
Boats were sailing in the distance. You could, like, look down in the water. Clear. Like, put your hand down. You could see all the rocks. You could see all the sand. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life, truly.
America 250, up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Well, happy 4th of July to you, dear listener, and happy 250th birthday to the USA. What a big birthday that is. It feels a little wrong for me to mention that this is also the first birthday of this show since we made our radio debut on WKR on July 5th of 2025. To mention that feels like announcing at a baby shower that you just adopted a new cat, but whatever, it's exciting to me that we finished our first season without getting canceled so far. In today's episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, we have two stories from 4ths of July in Michigan long, long ago. And since this is the beginning of a new season of the show, I wanted to take a moment to share a couple stories that celebrate this great state of Michigan. To get us started with a delightful story about a small town 4th of July celebration way back in 1993, we've got this story from Tanner Phillips. I can't imagine too many people can point to one specific day in their lives that marked the beginning of multiple huge parts of their lives, but Tanner sure can. He can trace his rock music career and his marriage back to that fateful 4th of July in 1993. He shared this story at our July 16, 2025 open mic live event at Ramshackle Brewing Company in Jonesville. Here's Tanner.
In southern Michigan, you know, probably the most popular day of the year is the 4th of July, you know, festivities. Like every little town, if you have a gas station or a Masonic lodge, you know, you are deep in the festivities. And so Hanover Horton, which is just down the road, was having its 4th of July, its second 4th of July ever, right?
And they
had put a lot of thought and money and time. I mean, it was like they were blowing it out. It was the biggest thing they had ever done. And so they decided to rip off the gong show, right? So they had various judges from handpicked from the area. They're all very interesting characters, including the man holding the gong, which his name was Milton the Beekeeper. And he was a very large man. The beard that goes down to the ground, you know, kind of paint the picture kind of a guy. And so it was the first performance of my band in high school, right? So it was like we had all gathered and we're like, and there was no other band, right? And we're like, we were going to be the band. And so, you know, starting out, we knew we had to go over and just befriend this guy, right? Like this was like, he was key. He's holding the giant gong. And somehow, I don't even know how Hanover came up with a gong, but they had an actual like giant 6.5-foot gong that somebody's grandparents imported years, you know, before. So we go over, we make as good as friends with Milton as we possibly can in hopes that, you know, we aren't being gonged. And so, you know, we're all hanging out, we're watching the various, it was also like, you know, a talent competition, so to speak, for everybody in the town. And my wife, who I did not know at the time, got up and did a routine with fire knives. Right? So like, I feel like that's the most Wait, Southern Michigan.
Aren't knives dangerous enough? Why do you need fire
so,
knives?
So it's a, and you know, I learned this later, but it's like she made a lot of money twirling metal sticks. And in her youth, and you could light them on fire. I mean, you could put sharp ends on them and light them on fire and do cool stuff with them. And I remember just being like, you know, looking at my friend saying like, you know, this girl, like, this is it. I was just like, this is amazing. You know, she's twirling fire knives and, you know, she's got her little CD player out there because there wasn't, you know, a PA or any kind of real,
so this
you
is
know,
literally just
like a boombox.
The
like,
audio is coming out of a boombox.
It was it's literally coming out of a boombox.
Wow.
No, yes. So, and as it was playing, you know, the CD, as they did back in the, you know, back in the old days when we played CDs, was skipping and they were just like gong. I mean, it was just straight across like gonger, gonger, gonger. So, you know, Milton doesn't even get out of his chair because that would be too much of a chore. Just reaches over and hits the gong. And, you know, and she was devastated because it was, I mean, it was quite the amazing, amazing performance. And then, a little bit later, you know, I was like, you should stick around and like, you know, hear the band play, you know, because it's, you know, super
so you,
cool.
You come up to her afterward to talk to her for the very first time.
Yes. So she.
And
she,
how does, what do you say?
I mean, we were just saying how rigged the whole situation, you know, like you're just like, we're like, that was really impressive. And we all feel bad because following that's going to be, you know, if they gonged you, we're in serious trouble. And
this is, you were just saying, this is your band's
First performance.
Yeah. Publicly performing. What kind of band?
It was a rock band. So it was the wrong band for Hannibal. No, it was originals. I mean, we went on to tour. We went on 20 some years. I mean, like, oh, I can give you all kinds of stories about Michigan musicians and
this is the very beginning of a band.
This actually launched. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, first performance. And if you know anything about Southern Michigan, rock and Southern Michigan do not mix. And I say that as like, I went to school with like Ted Nugent's kids, right? And even though, you know, Uncle Ted, as we call him around these parts, you know, it's like he kind of doesn't always go over because again, it's just a little too much for the people of the area. So, you know, we get up, they had the stage, we had the band, we're getting right, like, and we're allowed like one song. So like, you know, massive setup, the whole, you know, but, you know, like on top of the world and it's, and my wife, you know, is out there watching and like, yeah, I'm going to rock this. This is going to go, you know.
Right. I mean, your future wife.
Future wife. Yes.
Right.
Girl I'm trying to impress right. out in the audience. And, you know, we play and, you know, 10 seconds in, they realize it's not country. And you can see like, cause it's, you know, the 5-6 judges, you can see the angry faces on the judges and they're all turning and each one turns the next one. You can see gong them, you know, gong them. And, you know, Milton takes his gong and he jams it between his legs and he's like, I love rock music. You let those boy play. And so we got two songs in. Yes.
Two songs.
Cause there was only supposed to be one, but we got a second before they were like, I mean, essentially they came down and they turned the power off. And yeah, but, oh yeah. But the two people that liked rock music in the crowd that day, I feel like we really impressed.
How did this then transition into like, she was your wife? How did you parlay? Like, this is unfair to both of us into, could you go get...
So I met her again. So we were still young.
Okay.
On my 16th birthday, which wasn't very far away,
uh-huh.
I skipped school, which is not a thing, you know, that you should for any listeners out there. But I had skipped school. I had, air quotes, borrowed my parents' van, you know, because... They used to be you turn 16, you go to the DMV, you get your license. Well, that morning I drove that van to the DMV, got my license. And
kind of ironic.
Yeah. So, and I had driven up to my drummer's high school, which my drummer went to Hannibal Horton, and at the time I did not. And I was like, we've got to like, we're going to go do something cool. We need, you know, go find us some girls. We're going to, you know, like we're going to do the whole 90s, you know, cool.
Yeah,
like.
What year was this?
Oh, it was 1990, would have been 4 or 5?
Nice.
Yeah, so
yeah,
the perfect like, year.
Yeah.
Yes, peak 90s, yes.
Yeah.
So she was one of the ones. She actually had to, and hopefully my wife's out there not listening too hard, but she actually had to call home to her parents to say, like, listen, can I skip school? Because she was like that, like, good, you know, and they were like,
she was that good.
Yeah. And I mean, the best mistake that they ever made was just telling her, like, hey, you never do anything wrong. You're like the biggest goody two shoes on planet Earth. Like, get out there and go have, you know, like, go be a kid. And so she came, and then, like, the rest is history. But wow. Yeah.
Oh,
so, and we've been together, like, yeah, 29 years, married for like 24, 25.
Wow.
So I probably should know. Yep, two kids, a 16 wow. And a 10-year-old.
All so. Thanks to the Gong Show.
All thanks to the Gong. Yes. And the fire knives. And as, it's. She used to do it for, like, football games. So, like, it was one of those, like, every friend, I'm like, wait, hold on, you got to come to this football game. And, you know, being in music, sports is not, right. Doesn't really align with me. But I'm like, no, it's cool. It's a football game, but we just got to come check this out. And, you know, you go, and she'd be there twirling these, like, 50 feet up in the air, going back and forth, locking them, you know. And it was, so the school system around here, it was like a thing that people came to see, because there's just not, I mean, there's only a couple people that do it on the planet.
Right.
So, yeah.
Does she still do it?
She doesn't. Now we work in insurance. So.
ironic. Wow. Great. And tell us the band.
So the band back in the day was called Madcap. It transitioned into Not Another Hero, which, like, a lot of, like, Southern Michigan people would know. But we did a lot with the Verve Pipe and Sponge and all of the really big Michigan bands, you know.
So this Gong Show had the beginning of your marriage, the roots there, the beginning of your band.
Absolutely.
Like,
it was
like, you can trace basically the biggest moments of your life.
Back to the Gong Show. I literally can. Yes, the July 4th, the best July 4th they ever had. I'm just putting it out there.
Tanner Phillips. He shared that story at our July 16, 2025 open mic storytelling event at Ramshackle Brewing in Jonesville. Again, his band is called Not Another Hero, in case you want to check it out now that you know its awesome origin story. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the America 250 episode. I'm Rob Prince. For people who love blowing things up, there can't be any greater day of the year than July 4th. For all the rest of the year, society really frowns on people exploding things, but for one day of the year, it's considered normal. It's like the Purge, but just for pyromaniacs. But fireworks are expensive and pretty tightly regulated here in Michigan, so if you want something that really makes a bang on a budget, what better way than to hop a fence and steal a big mortar from a professional fireworks display? Well, actually, that is a really horrible idea for reasons that I hope are obvious to everyone, but it seemed like a good idea to Zach Bigelow's friend back on the 4th of July in the year 2000. He shared the story of how that all went down at our August 25, 2025 open mic live event at Ramshackle Brewing in Jonesville.
We're all of age at this point in time, so we can, you know, we're imbibing, we've been day drinking, turned to evening drinking, turned to a little bit towards the dark end of night drinking.
Okay.
You know, you're 21, you're a superstar. One of my buddies decides we were over in Hanover and they have their 4th of July fireworks. He hopped the fence and stole one of the big mortars.
Oh my goodness.
And he's just carrying this thing around all day long. Look what I've got. It's this precious, you know, just we're trying to figure out how we're going to launch this thing off after everybody else is gone. You know, we're over at my buddy's house. And
what does this thing look like? Is it
it's a little bit bigger than a softball.
Okay.
and it had this like cone at the bottom, real short, maybe like 2-3 inch cone.
Okay.
And a long fuse.
All right. Okay.
And we're thinking, how are we going to launch this off?
Right.
You know, we're very intoxicated. So of course, you know, the 4th of July, they have traffic cones, the sitting around.
Oh my God.
We decide to procure one from the road.
Wow.
And make a little makeshift mortar launcher.
Right. And the idea being you're going to launch it through the bottom.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Set it down, light it, and right. Run like the Dickens.
Okay. All right.
Well, the only place that we could figure out the be the safest was the center of the baseball field, because there's no trees around it.
Right. And safety was your top priority.
At this point, we're thinking, if this goes off, we've got to make sure that it doesn't catch anything else on fire.
Good for you. Good for you.
So we put it on the pitcher's mound, because it's this about center. There's nothing around it. It'll launch off. And it's probably 2-3 in the morning.
Which baseball field is this?
This would have been Hanover Horton area one. There was a baseball field over there.
Okay.
Still is, probably.
All right.
And it was probably about 10 of us. We all got together and we built, you know, made this little ramshackle, shimmied up mortar launcher, and realized we didn't have enough fuse that only had a short fuse. So we either have to light it and run, or Buddy says, well, another friend is like, I've got some wick at the house. So we go to his house, walk over, grab some more wick, because he makes his own whatever. He's got
whatever you need that for.
He's got his own like fuse wires and stuff. So we ran more of it and light it. And we watched the wire burn down, hit the thing. And we're sitting there. And it felt like an eternity.
Uh-huh.
To the point where we got bored and walked away.
Oh, my goodness.
We had no more than got like halfway through the field, the baseball field, and it just, boom! It was the prettiest purple I've ever seen, but it didn't launch in the air. Uh-huh. It just went right there on the pitcher's mound.
That kind of rubber cone didn't really contain it.
No, and it echoed everywhere. And lights started clicking on, and here comes 10 drunk zombies running from the field, trying to hide. So, yeah.
Were there any ramifications of this? Did anyone ever say, like, what?
Nothing. We never heard a word. We played dumb. We were passed out. We drank too much that day, you know?
And what was left of the cone afterward?
We never went back for a couple days. We just, nope. Nothing was on fire, so we were good.
Well, you just ran.
We just ran like girls. we're out of here.
Wow, that's pretty insane.
Zach Bigelow, he shared that story at our August 25, 2025 open mic live event at Ramshackle Brewing in Jonesville. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Would you like to see My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, live and in person? Well, we've got several events coming up in the next few weeks. On Saturday, July 25, we will be returning to The Fledge in Lansing for a free open mic storytelling event at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, August 1st, we'll be heading back to Jonesville for a free open mic storytelling event at Ramshackle Brewing at 7 p.m. You can get more information about those events and more at our website, mymichiganstory.com. That's also where you can find all previous episodes of the show on our podcast, as well as reach out to us if you've got a story you'd like to share. Again, the website is mymichiganstory.com with an M-I at the start. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the America 250 episode. I'm Rob Prince. We'll be right back.
While My Michigan Story doesn't exist just to talk about how wonderful the state of Michigan is, even though I do think it is wonderful, I think it is appropriate to take a moment to celebrate the Great Lakes State at the beginning of the second season of this show. For those of us who live in Michigan, we know that the Great Lakes have an overwhelming grandeur about them that, personally, never ceases to leave me awestruck. Our next storyteller, however, was more than just amazed by the experience of seeing Lake Michigan for the first time. It literally changed his life. Jeremiah Liggett shared this story with me at our May 16, 2026 open mic storytelling event at the East Lansing Art Festival in East Lansing. Here's Jeremiah.
Me and my friends, I was told that there was an adventure we were all going to go on to go. The end goal was Lake Michigan.
All right.
Between Lake Michigan and where we were was about 4 to 5 miles just of sand dunes we had to climb over. We were not prepared. We had no water.
And so who were these people you're going with?
I was with my friends, Eric, Nick, Gabe, two Gabes, and Alex, and Alan.
All right. Yeah. Do they normally plan good trips?
This was the first one we've gone on.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this is the first one we've gone on. So.
And so you're... It's summer. What month is it? Like July or something? When is
it? Yeah, June or July. Yeah, summer.
So it's kind of hot.
Oh, 100%.
Really hot. You're coming from East Lansing.
Yep.
And you're going kind of northwest to Lake Michigan.
Yep.
What did you think was going to happen? Did you have any idea what the plan was?
No. I wasn't a kid who really got a chance to go outside of my neighborhood, really. So this was my first, I guess, go ahead and go do it.
All right.
I'm of age, I guess, to go be free, I guess. So,
right.
You know, this is my first little bit of freedom. So it was, the first time.
So walk me through that day. What happened?
Okay, so we wake up relatively early. You know, we're all pretty tired, relatively groggy, and we're driving that way. We get there, get out the car. We see one big sand dune. And we're like, oh. So it's just right over, like Miss is going to be right over this sand dune. We walk over one, we're like, oh man. And we see, it says, I think like, you have to meet, I guess, 7 posts on the hike. And then after 7, you'll get to, we thought there'd be maybe like each dune post. No. It was like, it felt like for every five dunes, there was one post.
Oh my, so, you had 7.
Yes, it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible, you know. Space definitely grew between the groups. We all kind of divided. Some of us were not ready. I was in the front of the group, though.
All right, so you're okay. Through. Were you just going to leave these other guys behind, or why did you separate like that?
I knew that they were going to make it at some point.
Ah, I see. You just didn't want to wait.
I couldn't. It was too hot.
Oh, no water.
I was wearing sandals, so I just took my shoes off. But if you stop moving, you almost are sinking back, losing progress. So it was definitely a... But, I mean, when we finally made it...
Uh-huh.
That water was clear.
Uh-huh.
There was like it almost was like frosting over top of the, it was just fog, but it was so beautiful. I remember like just crying.
Really?
Like, it was the most, to this day, one of the most beautiful things. Like, and if you like look, like my eyes are getting like watery just thinking about it. Like genuinely one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had. And I would not have been able to have that if I was not in the great state of Michigan. So yeah, truly a beautiful experience, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were only there for like maybe an hour and a half, and we had to, the hike was 3 hours. We got to sit in the water for an hour and a half, and then go all the way back before it got dark. Because there were no like lights. There were no, I mean, we had our phone flashlights, but man, we made it just in time. We made it down past that big hill, our big dune, got to our car, sun was setting.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfect time.
You had no time to spare. What was the walk back like?
It was way better because all the big hills, I feel like, now we're going down them.
Oh, I see.
So it was way better. But I feel like I was reborn after I got out of that water. It was so like my body was all covered in sand. I was hot. I was sweaty. So I took off all my clothes, or not all my clothes, but I went in that water. I came out just like, oh, like it was amazing. It's amazing. I love that so much. Love that so much. I'm not really even a take my shirt off kind of guy, but when I saw that water, it was just like a natural, like, I need to take all this in. Boats were sailing in the distance. You could like look down in the water, clear. Like, put your hand down, see all the rocks, you could see all the sand. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life, truly, truly.
Wow, that is epic. So how are you a different person now?
I definitely feel like I'm, instead of holding on to things that like, I guess the perspectives of other people, I just live my life almost more free. I'm not worried about what somebody else is looking at me thinking. I'm gonna do what's best for me. And it's a way better way to live life. I lived life stiff for so long, looking around like, oh, what is this person thinking about me? It doesn't even matter, man. Life is so short. I blinked and now I'm 23. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm trying my best to live the rest of my life, however long I got left, the most free and the most just, you know, kind and, you know, loving to everybody. But yeah, no, that, I don't know what's in that water. But that water is just beautiful. It's perfect, truly.
That's a really wonderful story. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Brad.
Jeremiah Liggett. He shared that story at our May 16, 2026 open mic storytelling event at the East Lansing Art Festival in East Lansing. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. Today's episode was produced and edited by myself, Rob Prince. My Michigan Story is presented by WKAR in East Lansing. Would you like to see My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, live and in person? Well, we've got several events coming up in the next few weeks. On Saturday, July 25, we will be returning to the Fledge in Lansing for a free open mic storytelling event at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, August 1st, we'll be heading back to Jonesville for a free open mic storytelling event at Ramshackle Brewing at 7 p.m. Remember, I can't make my Michigan story without your Michigan story. So get me your story today at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Thanks. ¶¶